It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 660. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail on Skype. Name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or go directly to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. Glad to be with you tonight. As I still keep nursing my broken foot, I'm going to learn Monday whether I'm going to have surgery or not. So follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or check the main website at miketechshow.com, and I will post up whether there's going to be a show next Thursday or night. So let's get to it. I have been bombarded with a lot of work, and I'm not going to anger the consulting gods by complaining. It's been a blessing. I'm so busy. Here's just some of the topics of the work we're doing. I have never seen such an uptick of new computer sales and refurb sales. I have never seen this many new computers purchased. Usually it's at the end of the year, where it's the end of the fiscal year and they're trying to, like some companies, just to use up the budget, or they want to get some of the big purchases for a deduction in the one fiscal year. Having a summer like this, I have three new systems being delivered next week that we're going to configure. We just did some yesterday. It's been great. But that puts a strain on workload and trying to keep with it. So that's one. Office moves. We have a nightmare office move, and the nightmare is not for us so much as them, and it's Verizon's just giving them such a hard time. A financial advisor moving, we're not even sure whether they're going to meet the schedule or not for the deadline because of the phone systems, and they didn't sign the lease until last week. So to want to move in just a few weeks and to be able to have a new Verizon Fios install, have the phone company arranged for moving the PBX and everything, it's a lot of work. That's for the end of this month. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. I got my son and Ken. It's going to be taking care of that move. We have someone else that's got another Fios install. And then there's another move coming with another company. So lots of moves. Here's what's been happening this week. Clients that do not have their own domain for email, or they're now unhappy with where it's being hosted, and I'm migrating them to Hosted Exchange. No problem. I have three clients that are going end-to-end encryption. So we're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks, but the end-to-end encryption for SureWeb is a third-party arrangement with Proofpoint. And I'll dive into that in a little bit, but they need end-to-end encryption because one is an attorney, another one is for medical, and so HIPAA compliance, of course, and communicating with patient data. And then the third one, real estate. That's big. There's been a large problem with intercepting emails and wire transfers with any kind of a real estate agency and title insurance companies. This has been very, very big, having money and wire transfers intercepted. That's why you're not supposed to use email when they're communicating. It's got to be on a phone verified who is the proper person to be able to be communicating that amount. This is a big problem in that industry, and rolling out end-to-end encryption is just one piece that can help with that. So I'm seeing work with that. And I like that work because I can sit here and do this remotely. I can just instant house call in and have them purchase everything and go through. Another big piece of work that's going to be coming, a very, very large financial advisor company that I do a lot of work with, the corporate offices have made a decree to all of their advisors that they have to have systems by November that are minimum 16 gig of RAM. Now, you would think, oh, that's not too bad. You know, what if you have a Surface Pro and it's only 8? You can't crack that open and put more memory in. This is a big challenge. And they can't have Windows 7. I get that. So we have a lot of older systems out there. So I see September and October, a huge uptick on new systems where they're either going to be buying them from the home office or I'm going to be getting them from Dell for them and setting them up because they use all Dell Optiplexes and Dell Latitudes. I'm going to see a whole lot of a lot of work for more new systems before the end of this year, just for them to meet that requirement. So I have to be ready for that. That's been my work. Now, let me describe my tech day from hell. This is the support day from hell. It was a Friday, and it started out where I was on site at our orthodontist, that's an all Mac shop, and we were adding security updates on the Mac. So we were very security conscious here. We were making some changes. His Untangle appliance expired from the software a while back, so we upgraded that and made sure that he's getting all of the proper reporting and updates and web filtering that's needed. We used Malwarebytes on all of the Mac systems, and he has quite a few. We were there for a few hours, and my son and I, our phones were lighting up voicemail after voicemail, email. So we're like, what's going on? And it was all various things. One of my clients that's a memorabilia wholesale distributor, he can't process his credit cards. Having a problem, but he's on the internet. He can't process credit cards. My biggest company can't get to some website. They can get to like half of them. Another company, this is an industrial lighting company. They had problems with websites. And I'm like, wait a second here. We're starting to see a pattern here. Another company, email in and out was not working, but he could get to websites. So what's going on here? I call Ken. I go outside from my client. I call Ken. I said, something's got to be going on here. And then as we were talking, we both realized all of these clients had one thing in common, Comcast. And I said, is there a big problem with Comcast? And if you know, a couple weeks ago, they had a fiber cut at part of their backbone. And it didn't impact all services, but it impacted a lot of them. And that explained all of these. Now, by later in the afternoon, things got better and things started working with all these clients. But we were just back and forth with everybody and just making sure. And it took a little bit for us to realize that we had a problem with Comcast. But in the middle of this, we're getting other calls. My one client that with their industry, they have to have the TPM security on all their laptops and BitLocker. All of a sudden, a Windows 10 update on one of their laptops, they couldn't get in and they didn't have the BitLocker recovery key. So here's a lesson. Whenever you roll out any encryption and there's a recovery key, you got to make a backup of that key for your client. Now, I gave this client a USB stick with all of the keys. I make a directory of the computer name with the name of the user at the time. And in there is the BitLocker text, the big text file that has the recovery key. The user was being prompted to enter this recovery key in order to boot the system. So they tried to read the USB stick that I left, and I know it was readable a year ago. They could not read it. Now, I have a backup of all of that, but I'm not at home and I don't have access to it. I said, just hang in there another hour, hour and a half. I will get that for you. So that was one. Next, saving folders to a Synology was not working properly on just some folders. So it wasn't, I checked the permissions and it wasn't a permission problem when I got back to my home office. So how do you like this? And it's something to remember. When you have a directory path of multiple nested folders, and I'm going to have a link to a Microsoft document that talks about the limits. You can only go 255 characters from a folder depth. If you take a look at the entire UNC path, it cannot be more than 255 characters. My client hit the limit. So once we started moving and combining folders and start to, now they got a large project to undertake reorganizing the hierarchy of their folder structure because they just went crazy, you know, crazy long directory name lengths. And you got to be careful. It's not unlimited. And this client hit the limit. And I told them, when you start creating all these directories, stop. Try to create a text file, a simple file. And if you can't create it, you've went too far. The one employee had a very important Excel spreadsheet that they had to finish to get to one of their biggest clients. And he was having trouble saving it. So I'm talking to him and I said, look, your workaround, if you can't get to that folder, just save it to the desktop. We can move it later when I get back to my home office. So a lot of the people, as they were calling in, I'm very good at workarounds. And that's what you want to be good at. And a lot of clients, they understand I may not be able to solve the problem that second, but I'm going to solve it. And I'm going to give you the best workaround I can come up with until I can get on site, dispatch someone to get on site, or I remote in and take care of it. That's something I had to do throughout that day on that Friday. That Saturday was big for us because I had to totally redo that Untangle appliance. This is my biggest company, and this is where the Untangle server kept it just would block everything. It would sort of die, and there was no logs or anything that would reveal what was going on. And Untangle did the best job they could at looking at the logs. We didn't have a solution. They said, redo the Untangle system. They gave me incredible instructions. I am going to post this link, which is the steps to take when reinstalling the Untangle firewall software. It is perfect where first you back up your settings, everything, including if you have the licensing that you purchased for the software, how to unassign the license and reassign it to the new appliance, what to do with your new UID for the appliance. We get on site, and it's a Saturday morning because there's no work happening. This is the perfect day to do it. I log in, or at least I try to log into the Untangle device. Guess what? Untangle's unavailable. It had crashed again Saturday morning. So I walk over, I hold the power button in, I power it back up. It now reports multiple disk errors within the logs of Untangle. So we're finally seeing what's going on. In there was a 320 gig Black Caviar drive, a laptop drive in this desktop. I didn't set up this appliance. I inherited it. I removed that drive, which was part of my plan anyway, and put a nice 500 gig solid state drive, Samsung drive, went through their process with the USB doing a 64-bit Untangle version of 13.2.1. 14 is the latest. We wanted to do one back, Untangle told me. That installed perfectly. I was able to set it up. I was able to restore the settings. I switched all the licensing. I got everything activated and working perfectly. Took a couple hours. It is knock wood. It's been running really, really well. So we're going to be going into week two here now and this Saturday. And really, was it this week or was it past the last Saturday? You know, my days are just mixing up. It might have been last Saturday. So I take that back. We're only going to be week one. I want to see that it runs 2 weeks with no problems before I close the ticket with Untangle. So I take that external drive and I run Crystal Disk Info on it, guess what? It big red bad. It is absolutely bad. So the root cause of all of our Untangle issues was a hard drive going bad. Let's hope I now have better luck. I got a solid state drive in there. It is running so much faster. Everything is perfect when I'm trying to even just pull reports up and any kind of data or information from it. It's been great. So I have a Microsoft Surface Pro 4, and I haven't booted it up in a while. So I said, let me update it over the weekend, and I want to go to Windows 10 18.03. Kept failing. I'm like, I barely use this device. It's a Microsoft hardware product. You mean I can't do a proper Windows install on a Microsoft product on a system that barely gets used? I was having a lot of trouble until I found an article where you have to delete the $ Windows tilde BT directory that kind of holds all of the update files for Windows 10. I deleted that, but not all files delete it. I really should have went into safe mode, stopped any of the update services. I didn't do that, but I deleted all the files that I could out of that directory. I rebooted. I ran the Windows 10 media creation tool where it will actually install everything, and it installed perfectly. There are so many different tips, and I think I got a couple emails for tonight that's going to describe. I've never had the same solution work twice. It's each time I run into a Windows 10 problem with updates, I got to disable a driver. I got to do it. It's amazing of just how difficult updates have become. In Windows 7, I used to just complain they were slow coming down, but I never had this kind of trouble with Windows 10 updates, and they're, don't get me started. I've spent probably way too much time on talking about Windows 10 and updates, but if I'm going through it, you have to be going through it. That Friday, thank God, ended okay, and I was able to get back to everybody and took care of everything and solved all the problems, but the root cause of most of them was this big Comcast outage. Let's get to some email here. So this first one is from Tony, who's one of our moderators in the chat, and it's VPN filter malware. Mike, just so you know, there is a firmware update for the ASUS AC68U, which is my favorite router. Keep the router updated to help combat the nasty VPN filter malware going around. Stay safe, Tony. Tony, thank you. And that's exactly, I have been on top of that and updating the firmware for the routers, not just ASUS. Especially TP-Link and some of the others, you got to stay on top of router firmware. I'm not a big believer in doing like BIOS and firmware updates, which we're going to see an email here about that. But when you know you have to counter a problem, then yes, you go forward and you do that. This is from Robert, customer problem. I have a client that every time there is a Windows 10 update, he loses his sound. And I am having to keep resetting the sound back to get it to work. What I would like to know, is there a way to get it to stop changing the sound out, but every time there's an update? Well, you have to go through our procedure using the group policy. And if it's Windows 10 Home, go back a few shows. I describe how to download group policy and get it working on Windows 10 Home, and you have to disable driver updates. And that should help him, because then the other updates will happen. This is on a Dell 3263 all-in-one computer. Thanks for your help, Robert. Give that a try. If anybody else has other suggestions, send them to me, and I will forward them to Robert. This is from Keith. Clipboard Fusion recommendation. Someone asked about a good clipboard manager a couple podcasts back, and he has www.clipboardfusion.com. There's a sale going on now, but it's definitely worth the cost. I've been using it and Display Fusion for years. It works well with two monitors. Thank you, Keith. I'll put that link in the notes. This next email is from Steve, an observation. I'm sorry to hear about your foot problem. It reminds me of a bike accident I had about 10 years ago. I'm now retired, but I had a custom electronics business on the west side of LA for 42 years. I broke 3 ribs and a few other bones, and it put me out of commission for a couple weeks. But my business suffered no ill effects. That's because I had the attitude in running my business that it was my job to get the business and it my employees' jobs to do the business. Basically, besides fielding calls from referrals from customers, my only operational job was programming phone and AV control systems and customer instructions when the installation was completed. All the hard, time-consuming work was done by my employees. That's to go off here. I have been doing that. And Mike Jr. and Ken have been doing a phenomenal job in making that happen for me. And it's going to, and they're going to be busier. So he continues. So when I had my crash, my guys worked on the jobs in the pipeline and I supervised by phone. What I'm saying is, as your business matures, maybe it's time to concentrate on getting the business and letting your employees do the business. Wishing you a speedy recovery, Steve. It's phenomenal advice, and that's why I wanted to read this for everybody so it can resonate and you can it can sink in with everybody. This is important. And for anybody who's on your own and you're by yourself, you got to get that backup. Or if you ever go down, boy, you can't lose the income for your business. So I am working on that as I involve a perfect example. I'm the only one doing the untangle work. My son was right by me, my side in doing everything as I try to do as best I can of a brain dump from me to him as I try to clone myself. Now I clone myself physically because my son looks just like me. Now we got to take care of the brain and we got to clone the brain to him. So I'm working very hard at making that happen. This is from Ian. This is an incredible job that Ian has done, and I'm going to get this posted up. I am a longtime listener to your show. I think I started listening around show 25, which was not yesterday. When I think you have one of your first giveaways, I remember correctly, it was a baseball cap or something. On one of your last shows, I heard that someone was wanting to listen to older shows, but some of the links in the show notes didn't work. I created a simple PowerShell script that I use to create a very simple HTML file that has links to all your podcast MP3 files. I hope this is of some use. It is incredible use as I tested it, Ian, and I'm going to post it up this weekend when I post the show up. It was interesting to hear that you had to remote on to each of your clients' desktops to make a change. You should look at using PowerShell and see if this would speed up some of your changes and update and checks. I have to look over 2,000 desktops in the corporate world, and sometimes a simple PowerShell script run against each desktop will sort a simple registry change or copy a file. You don't have to be a developer. You can start with a couple of scripts and then you can expand. It is not too far off AutoLisp. Ooh, now I'm showing my age. Do you know I used to program in AutoLisp for AutoCAD? That's very interesting that you said that. And I don't know if you said that intentionally or not. I did program a little bit in a past life when I was starting out for fun. I used to program in BASIC all the time and then Turbo BASIC. I have neglected automation, and I've mentioned this many, many times. I need to go down the path of Winston Wolf, who is a master scripter, and automate, automate, automate. That's what he does. And I need to embrace that. And yes, that would have made life a lot easier. And I have not embraced PowerShell, and I really have to. Or hire someone that can. Hope your foot gets better. And one day, if I get back over to the U.S., I will try and meet up. That would be awesome. Thanks for all your shows. Regards, Ian from Edinburgh, Scotland. Ian, thank you so much. When do you see that HTML file I'm going to post up? And it has a link to everything, every podcast that I've done. Ah, this is from James. And I replied back to him on my thoughts on this. Just a quick tip for other listeners. I kept getting a Dell update pop-up for newer Dell computers that I manage. When I looked at details for the update, I realized it was a BIOS update. I don't want to do the update, at least for now. At any rate, there is no option presented to stop the pop-up from happening. Actually, there is. Over and over and over and over. I found myself clicking remind me later and about 10 times a day. I eventually got sick of it and did some online research. The Dell forums were lame. And of course, Dell recommends installing the update. Long story short, I killed the pop-up by changing the Dell update service to start manually and then stopping it. This is common sense, but I wanted to throw it out there to help anyone else who is fighting this annoying pop-up because Dell is less than helpful. Love the show, been listening for years. That's a great tip. And I have a take on BIOS, like I said in the beginning of the show, and firmware. If there's no need to install it, don't. I'm not going to do a BIOS upgrade unless I know it's fixing or addressing something that I need. Then I go through the risk of doing the BIOS update or the firmware update. But I'll tell you, I'm doing more of anything for a router. I want to do the firmware updates more and more because security is so important. And you got to be careful. Every router you deal with, you got to have the process or the procedure. And I have all the utilities for ASUS. That's why I like to stick to one type of model because it makes it easier for me to support. And I know how to back out a bad firmware or if it fails in the middle and how to do an emergency restore of a firmware. And I did a show on that. I have control and I feel more comfortable doing that on the ASUS line of routers. But if you're using whatever, Netgear, whatever the brand is, make sure you have one in your home or home office or wherever you work that you can play with so you can test messing up the firmware update. How do you back out? How do you, pull the power plug in the middle of the firmware update? Now, can you recover that device? There's lots of things that you should try, which I've done and inflicted those things on myself, so I'm prepared for my clients. You want to go through the pain, not your clients. Now, on this update, what I was going to recommend was go to the startup, and if there's something in startup that's launching the Dell, then you can stop that also. But yes, stopping the service, making it manual, that's the way to go. And then if you ever have to use it, you can always start that service. That is it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and subscribing the show. The best way to support the show is to use our Amazon link in the show notes. Carrie Holzman and I share that link, and a small commission comes back. Your price stays the same, and it helps support Carrie Holzman and myself, Tech Vets, and the Mike Tech Show. I really appreciate it. Also, Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Give it a try. Try your 15-day trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. My son will be on site. We have to migrate a Vista machine to a new Dell Optiplex running Windows 10. I have him armed with the latest updates of Fabs 6 Pro and 7 Pro because I have not tried anything prior to Windows 7 using Fabs. I might have once way back used XP. So anyway, it'll be very interesting, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's going to go well. I'm going to help my son remotely as he does that, but I can't live without Fabs. We use it every week. Link's going to be in the show notes. This is a must-have utility if you're in our business and doing what we do. That's it. Thank you, and good night.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.